You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
As you know, we are journeying through a series entitled Authentic, a study out of the book of Romans. When I think of authenticity, there's a lot of things you can think of, but one of the things that I remember very explicitly was my days of business. There's an organization called SGS. If you've not heard of this company, it's known as Société Générale Surveillance. It's a French company that basically has bases all over the world. They have a base here in our country. And what they do is when you buy something from overseas, you're buying a piece of equipment, you're buying some chemicals, you're buying some medication, you're buying some ingredients, you go through this entity. And what they do is they have a record and a database of everything that is authentic, and they scan through the sources. Where did this come from? Is this the real thing? Because there are certain things that are very dangerous when they're not authentic. When you put the wrong ingredient into a formula for a certain medication and it's not the right thing, or it's not the authentic thing, or the origins are not authentic, it could cause harm and it could cause and pose a lot of danger. This organization specializes on making sure that everything that companies bring in into their facilities are authentic, whatever they may be. They may be a piece of furniture, a piece of a spare part, a whatever instrument that they may need. This is the organization that does that. In a sense, that's what the book of Romans does. It's almost like a database to make sure that you know that your origins are with Christ, and that you are indeed an authentic Christian. And over the course of the last 3 weeks, we looked at some of those elements or some of those factors that determine whether we are authentic indeed or not. The first one is submission to authority. Dr. Stephen Mansfield talked in a very brief moment, but probably one of the richest messages I've ever heard on the topic of submission to authority, particularly those of the governing authority. Secondly, we talked 2 weeks ago about loving your neighbor, that's part of the trademark, if you may, of someone who's authentic and genuinely a Christian. And finally, last week, we talked about what it means to encourage one another, not to judge others, or what's the deal breaker when a Christian drinks wine or a Christian listens to rock music or a Christian does certain things, but still realizing that they're believers, they're followers of Christ, and how do we walk together, encourage one another without necessarily being judgmental over each other. Today, one of the marks of authenticity is really this idea of sharing the gospel. If we are to understand that we are indeed Christians, there is this something inside of us that desires to share the truth of the gospel. It's not just something we consume on a Sunday morning coming to church. It's something that we want to impart and share with others. Many years ago, I came to some information about what is today known as the Marikina Fault Line. It was actually a sort of a white paper from a Japanese entity that talked about at length about the reality that there is this one big earthquake that's going to hit this country, or rather this city, and it talked about it in detail. And I remember getting hold of this thing, and I was wondering, is this information authentic? I didn't want to share it with people because I didn't want to scare people. I had a gentleman come in here and write me a note and said, this big earthquake is coming and would you share it to the people? And today, everybody's sharing about this. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't have lunch anywhere without people thinking about this. You couldn't park on basement number 3 without people looking and making sure they know where the exit is, because the information is out there. But years ago, I wasn't sure if this was worth sharing because I wasn't sure about the authenticity of the information. And that's what we need to understand. We need to understand in our own hearts the authenticity of our faith so that we can step out and share it with others freely without worrying about it, without thinking, having second thoughts, because we know the genuineness of what we believe. Now, the verse I want to look at this morning is based in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." I'll draw your attention to the words, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I wonder what what the Apostle Paul was thinking about when he said these words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's probably because many people do not share the gospel because they're ashamed of it. And there are a variety of reasons why you could be ashamed of the gospel. One is because you don't feel adequate that if I share it, am I sharing the truth? Am I sharing it correctly? Am I sharing it step by step? Is it the proper way of rendering this message so that people can actually accept it properly? The inadequacy of whether I can do that. Or people might think that I'm self-righteous, holier than thou, I'm better than you, and because of that, we're inhibited to share this thing. Now, it's interesting also that in this day and age, we live in the moment where sharing is so common and something that is now done at the flick of a finger, basically. How many of you have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook? You've shared things. I want to show you one of the most shared, most retweeted posts on Twitter ever. There's no post on Twitter that has been retweeted as many times as this particular post. And this particular post has been retweeted 3,341,951 times. In light of eternity and the next 1,000 years, this tweet does not have any meaning, believe it or not. And yet, we freely share it with confidence and boldness. You probably were one of those. I can see some of you are hiding your face. I'm one of those pastors that clicked that. But it's all over the place. Now, when you look at sharing, people, the biggest shares on the internet, pizza, 12 million shares. It's the biggest share. I mean, everybody's sharing about pizza. Can you imagine? Among the top 10 foods, it's not even steak, it's pizza. Next is ice cream. 13 million shares. Now, please understand, I have nothing against you sharing actors and celebrities and fashion and Forever 21 and makeup and lipstick. I have nothing against that. My point is, there is such an imbalance over the nonsensicality of those things versus the reality of the importance of the impending earthquake. By the way, the earthquake might not happen in your lifetime. There's no guarantee. 100 years is a big spread. How many of you know you might not be here when that happens? But there's one earthquake that will happen to all of us regardless of where you are. And that's our death. And there is a way out of that earthquake. And it's by sharing something. Not ice cream for sure, amen? That might actually hasten your death. The point is, what is it that we share? Top of the list in terms of shares, can anybody guess? When it comes to food, cakes. Of all things. I mean, you would have thought salad would be number one, which is the healthiest, but it's not. It's cakes. It's 29,000 times. In other words, we are a sharing people. It's natural for us to share things. And if we're not doing it, there's something unnatural about our understanding of the gospel. That's my point. It should be something as natural as talking about cakes and ice cream and salads and pizza. But why is it not so? And part of it is captured in this verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because this is the power of God. Are you privy to the reality that it is the power of God to salvation? Do you believe that? I remember the day I got saved. It was 31 years ago. I knew the kind of life I was living. And there was a definitive moment. I'm not saying that salvation is a moment. I'm just saying that there was one point in time when that whole life turned around and changed. Part of the reason why I'm so relaxed is because I spent an entire week just reading my Bible and praying. And just hanging out with my wife. And just checking out and saying, what are the really most important issues of life? How many of you know when you start pushing near the big 6-0, you start thinking differently? But you start reading that thing. Is it really the source of the power of life? Because as clear as that is to you, is as clear as that you would share this thing. That every time you open your mouth, it will come out of your mouth the same way that you would talk about ice cream and cakes as naturally as you would. because it's clear to you that it's the power of God unto salvation. But what does it say down in Romans chapter 10, verse 8? What does it say? The word is near you. The word is actually not far from you. This verse actually says it's actually near you. Salvation is not far. It's actually near for you. It's as near as your mouth. It's as close to you as your tongue. He's talking about the confession of the word of God, that when you confess it, that's how you pray. When you open that Bible, you don't just read it. You read it and then you pray it. You speak it. You declare it. You say it's as close to you as your mouth is. How many of you know there's nothing more close to you than your mouth? That's how near it is to you. But do you understand how powerful it is that you would declare it and say, this is going to happen in my lifetime. This is going to happen to me. God's going to bless me. It's in your heart. It's not even just in your mouth. It's actually inside of you. You're going to have to rip yourself open to get this thing out of you, because this word of truth is in your heart, and that's the mouth and heart connection, that if it was truly in your heart, out of the abundance of that heart, that mouth will speak. You're going to declare it. You're going to tell people about this Jesus and this salvation. That this word is the thing that you preach and declare. I was at the Bembo feeding program. Many of you are aware of this, our real life program. We have a feeding program for impoverished people. We were at the elementary school yesterday feeding children. And as soon as I got there, I saw all these children doing their crafts. They're being fed by our volunteers. And they were waiting because we had about 10 dentists and about 3-4 doctors who were going to do their quarterly physical checkup. It's the same children. We're feeding the same children every week. We're not feeding sporadically different children every week. We're feeding the same 50 kids every week. We're teaching them the Bible. We're teaching them to love God. We're teaching them to obey their parents. And volunteers from our church come. But every 3-4 months, we basically come and check their teeth. There are so many teeth that were pulled yesterday. So many kids that had so many cotton balls in their mouth. And there were just all these volunteers. There were all these volunteer doctors from our church and from elsewhere, and dentists from the Philippine Dental Association, people manning the pharmacies, and somebody teaching the kids how to brush their teeth and how to wash their mouth. And this whole day was just there. And I was just watching there because I'm really just trying to supervise. I'm a volunteer supervisor, and I'm walking there. And everywhere I turn, just about everybody in that picture, each and every one of them, out of my mouth will come out this idea of bridging a highway between the church and the people. That we're not going to try and drag them into church. We're going to try and go to them and feed them and care for them and teach their parents. And every time I would meet one of the parents of one of these kids, I'd look at her and say, you know what? If you come here every week, if you listen to the teaching every week, and if you teach your child how to study well, we can give you a scholarship when he gets to high school and gets to college. And so their eyes were light up. And you know what? There were no notes. I didn't have an iPad to look at. It was coming out of my mouth. Why? Because when something's real to you, when you see it, that one day this highway is going to be built, it will come out to you. That's the same with ice cream and salads. That's in your heart, amen? Not just in your stomach. That's why it naturally comes out. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Literally that simple. You know how you do this on a daily basis? Here's how you practice this. Mark of a Christian is what? Mark of authentic Christianity is sharing the gospel. And you're probably intimidated. Can I really do that? Do I really have the wherewithal to be able to share this gospel? Can I have the capacity? Let me tell you how you do this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. As real as that is to you will be the reality of how you're going to preach that to somebody. So here's my admonition to you. Starting today. Everybody say, starting today. Okay, preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. That's what I do every day. When I wake up and I wash my face, I look at my face and I say, every now and then I change the lines. It's not talking to yourself. It's not weird, amen? It's just the practice of preaching the gospel. When I start to shave, I start looking at myself, Joey, boy, you good of a man that you are, you handsome little boy. I preach to myself, as good as you think you are, you're a sinner. You're lost. You're hopeless. You're wicked on the inside. You're going nowhere. But thanks be to God. He sent you Jesus, his son, to pay for your sins, that you're never to be afraid again, that this day is going to be blessed for you. It's going to be a great day for you, Joey boy. And he did not just save you. He died for you, paid for every infraction, past, present, and future, and rose from the dead that guarantees that one day you too will rise from the dead. And he's poured out his Holy Spirit in you. You know why it's so easy for me to share the gospel to people? Because I've been sharing it to myself for years. I've been preaching it to myself every day. I remind myself that apart from this gospel, this life's not going to work. And so when I stumble into somebody, I just came from a vacation in a house that somebody lent me. As I was leaving the house, I grabbed the caretaker, and as I turned around, I turned back and I said, listen, let me pray for you. And began to pray and sow that seed of that word and the gospel into him. You know why I did that to that man? Because that morning, just before I left, I did it to myself. Because the more you preach this gospel to yourself, the more you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the more you do that to yourself, the more you're going to start sharing it with others. The same way that you keep sharing pizza, ice cream, and cakes because you keep eating it. It's exactly the same way. Preach the gospel to yourself. Now, Paul goes on and says this. After he says this, that Jesus is raised from the dead and then you will be saved, he begins to tell us this thing that says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. In other words, if we totally believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, he saved us from our sins, there will be no shame. We will actually have the boldness, the ability not to be ashamed of something because we know it's true. One of the recent miracles in history, for those of you who are watching the NBA, is the Golden State Warriors is actually in the running for a championship. And if you don't watch the NBA, this is a miracle because for the last 40 years, this team has not won any championship. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this team shows up with the possibility of becoming the NBA champions for the year. It's never been heard of. I haven't watched NBA in a long time, but when I saw this thing happen, I started following the games. But the real reason why I'm following the games is because of this man right here. His name is Steph Curry. And Steph's an amazing young man because more than just acknowledging Jesus by raising his finger, he proclaims and declares the gospel everywhere he goes. He is this year's 2015 MVP, most valuable player. If you watch him play, it's actually quite ridiculous. But the amazing thing about Steph is not the way he plays or not the way he just honors God. A lot of people say, oh, this is the Lord. It's the way he proclaims the gospel. He says, first and foremost, I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He doesn't make no business. He doesn't say, you know, the man up there, I thank God for the good thing. No. He's saying, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for blessing me with the talents to play this game, with the family to support me day in and day out. I'm his humble servant right now, and I can't say enough how important my faith is to who I am and how I play the game. He says it on court, off court, in private, one-on-one. Whoever wants to listen, he declares and shares the gospel. It's not because he's more important than you and I. It's just because it's that real to him. And so the point of this message is how real is the gospel in your authentic faith so that you will authentically share it with the others that you encounter. Here's another quote from Stephen. I remember it like just yesterday, the day I gave my life to Christ. I was in fourth grade. I recall hearing and understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ and walking down the aisle to give him my life, to give my life to him. Remembering that, the gospel, the thing that changed me, the thing that set my course, that others should hear it naturally, obviously. After I've made 30, 40 points, after I become MVP, nothing matters more than for people to hear this truth as naturally as that happened to me. Mark of our faith, folks, authenticity of our Christianity, the reality of how much of this gospel is in us is the sharing of our faith. One final quote from him: my parents continued to pour into my faith from that point on, making sure I understood the commitment I just made. Starting in middle school, I attended Charlotte Christian School, which allowed me to hear the gospel on a daily basis. The gospel. That we shouldn't trade. Again, I'm not bashing the internet. I share things. If I find a great piece of meat that you can all enjoy that's for sale, I will share it on the internet. Amen. If I find a batch of ice cream that's great, I'll share it. But if I do that, shouldn't I also equally be as eager to share this? Shouldn't I be even more intensely sharing the gospel? And he says, my child who was filled with the Lord's presence, the more that gospel gets into us, folks. And sometimes we don't want that. We look at these guys, it's so, Pastor Joey, it's so fanatical looking. It's almost like I'm one of those doomsday. No, it's not. It's the way you think. You sometimes think it's so uncool. You know, it's like, what if I get rejected? Who cares? You're going to heaven. He's not. What's wrong with you? How can you be so selfish? You're so selfish that you can only think about your own rejection. The guy's never heard it. Further in chapter 10, verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. In other words, what he's saying is, there's no rich or poor. There's no young or old. You've got 12-year-olds, 9-year-olds. You've got 50. You've got a whole 15,000 kids in Araneta Coliseum this week. They are cheering for Jesus because there is no distinction. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no separation. You share that gospel. My last trip to Israel, I flew from Manila to Hong Kong, and I boarded the flight from Hong Kong to Tel Aviv on an El Al flight. That's the local flag carrier of Israel. And when you board an El Al flight, about 90% of the passengers are usually, obviously, Jews. And I ended up in a seat beside these two men. And I knew, looking at the flight charts, and you know, when you fly El Al, they zigzag throughout the Middle East and fly in different curves to avoid their enemies. And it's a long flight. So I looked at the thing and I said, okay, this is going to be a long flight and I better talk to these men. So I started chatting with them. I thought they came from somewhere else in Asia and ended up in Hong Kong and we're all flying out together. And I started engaging them. I said, who are you? We're Jews. I said, are you Jews? And they said, he looked at me and said, of course, this whole plane is full of Jews. You're the only guy who's not Jew here. And I'm talking. He said, so what about you? Where are you from? I said, I'm from the Philippines. Oh, we just came from the Philippines. We stayed there for one whole month. Really? What were you doing there? Well, we went to Boracay, we went to El Nido, beach. I said, how long were you there? We were there for an entire month. I said, are you guys married? Yeah, because you have rings. Yes, how can you be married and be gone that long with your wives? Oh, no, we're married. Are you here? I'm going to write a blog about this one day, 10 hours on flight, whatever. I said, oh, okay. So how long have you been married? And so we start, and please, this is not a laughing matter to me. I don't think that people who are like issues like this are any different from an adulterer, from a thief, I don't laugh at these things because to my mind and my heart, you're just the same as the liar. Part of our problem is we keep ostracizing people like these and we think that there's a separation between them. No, they're all sinners like you and me. And every time you have an issue with that, you're not going to share rather than realize these guys are super lost. And they said, so what do you do? I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor. Oh, a pastor, okay. And I sat there talking to him and talking to him and talking to him. And his friend started listening. And I kept praying and praying, God, give me an open door here. Give me an open door. And I looked at him and said, somewhere in the flight, I got him interested in beaches and Batangas, and you should come back. You should see this other beach. Here's my email address. Contact me when you come back. I've got dry diver friends. Blah, 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 blah. And then finally he said, do you know Lego? He said, yes, I know Lego. I grew up on Lego. He said, because I wrote a book. I said, really? What's the title? The Lego Principle. I said, oh, really? What is it about? Then I started to preach the gospel. Everybody's like a Lego. We're little pieces, different shapes, different sizes, different colors. Nothing special, nothing fancy, nothing extraordinary. I was trying to figure out how will I connect this thing to this man? How do I get this message across? God loves you. We're sinners. We're lost. You, him, me, we're all lost. We need God very badly. We're going to hell. If something happened, it helps that every time the plane goes like this, it helped. And he said, he picked up this book and said, I'm reading an entire book about the non-existence of God. He's an atheist. And he said this, I've never heard the way you teach the Bible. And I was telling him, I'm not teaching you the Bible. I'm sharing you the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. God wants to save you and your friend. Now, in the course of the flight, we all slept, but they liked the preaching. As soon as we got, and I don't think they got saved. I said, I'm going to stay in touch. Here's my email address. Here's the link to Amazon. Get the book. Copy this. I'll buy your atheist book myself. He said, you can't buy it. It's in Hebrew. Okay, so I can't buy it, but whatever. We got out of the plane. We landed in Tel Aviv. They weren't angry at me. They were looking at me and saying, thank you. I said, listen, just before we part ways here, can I pray for you? Mark of Christianity, folks, is share the gospel. That's what it means to be authentic. Not just come to church. Not just to sit here on a Sunday. Share the gospel. It's a lost world out there. I don't know if I'm going to bump into these guys again. I'm not, people are in negative 1,000 country, probably these guys. My job is to move them to negative 700. If zero is salvation, our job is to share the gospel so you keep moving people because they keep, how many times have you heard the gospel before you actually got saved? I had a tailor who preached the gospel to me every time he came to my, when I was a businessman, he would measure my suit and he'd say, you know what, you need to get saved. You're going to hell. And I thought, you're my tailor. Make my suit. Don't tell me where I'm going. But you know what? It was so effective. It kept reminding me. The next time I heard it from my grandmother. The next time I heard it from my cousin. I heard it from different people because just different people sharing this simple gospel to me. That one day when I got to negative zero, my lawyer just pushed me in and I'm saved. It was because, not because that lawyer had a brilliant presentation, it's because of chains of people sharing the gospel. That you and I are just moving people closer and closer and closer. It's authentic. It's real. It's what Christianity is. Now, Paul tries to land this message by saying, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In other words, sharing the gospel is just telling people, you need to just call on God. That's all it is. Don't try to make this harder than it really is. It's just telling people that when you get to negative one and you finally are getting tired of life, just cry out, "Help God!" We've managed to make it more complex than it really is, and we're ashamed of the fact. Why should you be ashamed that you need help from God? Why can't you be bold enough to tell people, "Hey, listen, you need help from God. I need help from God." When we try to make it more convoluted than it really is, we make it more complicated than it should be, rather than sharing the gospel. I was lost and I was found. He gave me a life that I couldn't live. He gave me an escape hatch. I'm free. I can be who I'm supposed to be by the love of Christ. God became man. You know this. You've heard this a million times. Be bold and share it. Step out there and do it. Now finally he says this, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Very basic. "And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard?" If you think of the chain of thoughts here, how can they call on God if they don't believe? In other words, our job is just to help them believe that they can call on God. "And how are they to believe in whom that they have not heard?" If they've never heard of God, these guys have never heard of Jesus. They thought Jesus was a curse. They thought it was a curse word. These guys have no idea of the gospel. I'm sitting down there and thought, my goodness, you're from Israel. Hello, you go do tours. They thought Jesus was like a fairy tale from Disneyland. They never realized that there is such a physical, natural Jesus who wants to save them. When was the last time you actually shared the gospel? I'm not saying lead someone to the Lord. Share the gospel. I'm lost and I was found. And God brought me closer. You can have the same thing too. Would you mind if I just pray for you now? It's a mark of Christianity. But how are they to hear when someone, without someone preaching? There is a place where you're going to have to preach. You can't just say, "You know what, I went to a bar and I sat down and everybody was having wine and alcohol and beer and I had mango juice. I preached the gospel to them." No, you didn't. You had mango juice. You're going to have to preach. You're going to have to open that mouth. You're going to have to tell people the truth about who Jesus is in your life. It's not just you finding a nice clip and then tweeting it and says, "You know, God was good. Amen. I shared the gospel to 1,000 people." No, you didn't. It's one-on-one. It's that tailor on his knees measuring my pants and saying, "Now, sir, where'd you go to school?" "Tadeo." "Jesuit, bakit?" "Kaya pala yabang mo." To the foreigners, "That's why you're arrogant. You got religious arrogance all over you." This guy was bold. And he's my tailor. I'm telling you, "I'll fire you today." He says, "You know what? You're lost, sir. I was just looking at your bookshelf, Psycho-Cybernetics. What's that about?" "Well, that's positive thinking. You've got to be like that." And I said, No. "You need God, sir." You know what? That guy's my friend to this day. If I have a barong made, I call up that guy because that guy did not give me a suit and a barong. That guy gave me Jesus. My grandmother was like that. She'd call me at 6:30 in the morning, "Joey, what are you doing?" And I'm there drunk from the night before. "What, Lola, what?" "You need Jesus. You are lost. You're a sinner. You will go to hell, Joey." Bold. I'll show you a short video of what that boldness looks like. The reality of the fear, the rejection, the possibility of people not liking you, people thinking you fanatical, is always going to be there. But folks, if we're going to be authentic, real Christians, we're going to have to share this gospel. This can't be something that you keep on your own. You've been given this grace so that you can impart it to others. Same way you share candy. Share ice cream. Share. Simple message of the gospel. Nothing is quite easier to share. Now, I'm not saying it's rather simple to share. And I'm saying it's easy. It is rather simple. As I close, Romans chapter 10, verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. There's something beautiful when you and I go out and preach the good news, speak to people. In the service later this afternoon, one of the doctors who you saw in that picture is going to be here. There's years of sharing with him. There's people here in this front row who's your relatives, just somebody shared with you. Somebody walked out with you. We need to go and do this. Now, three prayers that I really just want to pray for you. Number one is to pray for open doors, that you would see doors open before you and opportunities to just share the gospel. There's a guy who is a top magician in our country right now, and he was an employee of PLDT. And the guy who shared with him just shared with him during a coffee break. They were standing by the pantry, and they were just talking, and then he just shared the gospel. And the guy realized, wow, I've never heard that. I know about Jesus, but I've never realized the simplicity of that message, the truth of that. I've heard it over and over, because sometimes, you know, when you say something, you hear it once, you hear it twice, you hear it for the fourth, fifth time, boom, that's the time when it gets clear. That's the time you understand it. The reality of how it's said, when it's said, and where it was said helps. That's why all Christians who have authentic faith need to share the gospel. Number two, that you will have divine appointments, that you would have specific people that God will give you. My divine appointment happened in an elevator with that lawyer. As we were going up, he looked at me and said, there's a judge in heaven. We're about to meet the guys that we're dealing with. And I was telling him, how are we going to win against the judge? How are we going to win this case? And he said, there's a judge in heaven who's greater than all the judges. And then I looked at him, I said, wow, this is not the time to be religious. I'm paying you to be my lawyer, not to be my religious teacher. And we went up there and we sat down, and the guy settled amicably with us, because he told me in the elevator, this judge can solve things for you here and now. Will you pray with me? And he's been sharing the gospel for me for years. And then I prayed. February 6, 1984. Can't forget the day. Got back in the elevator and I realized that prayer worked. I went down, went home, opened my Bible. That's the day I actually said, Lord, you can have my life. You're real. With years and years of people sharing with me, and at that moment, at that one moment, I got pushed in. And from that point on, it was a journey of no return. It was a divine appointment. And finally, pray that you will have the boldness to share, that you would not be afraid. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for your people, God. And Father, today I'm asking you that you would give us open doors, that you would give us divine appointments, but more importantly, God, that you would give us the boldness. Lord, just the take away the fear, God. Take away the anxiety. Take away the mindsets of this is so uncool, this is so fanatical, this is, Lord, whatever our excuse may be, this is so holier than thou, I might get rejected, I'm wasting people's time. And I pray, Father, Holy Spirit, oh God, I ask you that you would touch each of us to the core. Change our minds and our hearts. Teach us to confess this gospel with our own mouths and believe in our own hearts. Teach us to preach it to ourselves every day. If you're here today and you're saying, God, I do want to share the gospel. And I want to ask you, God, to break this pattern of not doing this, God. To break this pattern, Lord, of taking it for granted. God, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for you. If that's your heart this morning, just as an act of faith, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? God, activate my heart. Teach me, Lord, to share it to my nephew, to my niece, to my cousin, to my grandson, to my friend, to my office mate, to my colleague. Lord, to my business partners, God, to Lord, to anybody I encounter, God, wherever I may go, Lord, to my barista in my coffee shop, God, to a waiter, Father, to my maid, Father, to my driver, Lord, whoever that may be, use me as an authentic believer to move them closer into that place of salvation, to confess that Jesus is Lord, and to believe in their hearts that God raised you from the dead, O Lord. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download from joeybonifacia.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.